Okay, we're going to read from Luke 5, verses 1 to 11. One day Jesus was standing by the Lake of Geneva with people crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him.
Thanks, Spike. Do you ever have one of those days? One of those days where nothing seems to ever go right. I'm sure we've all had one of those days. I remember as a teenager working in my brother's mechanic shop. He was a licensed auto mechanic. He still is a licensed auto mechanic. And I would work in his shop as a teenager after school, sometimes usually Saturday mornings and sometimes on holidays. It was a little shop in a town, a little hamlet outside of Georgetown called Limehouse. Maybe some of you know where it is. No, good, okay. It was called Limehouse Garage. Real original name that my brother named it. And it was there that I learned what a bad day looked like. You know, sometimes the furnace would break down. Or the service truck would need a new clutch. Or the springs on the garage door would bust. And then you'd have to lift the garage door. You ever try to lift a garage door by hand without the springs? It's pretty difficult, if you can do it at all. You see, and my brother would say on a day like that, he would say, "Well, we didn't make any money today." Now, it's not that he didn't earn any money. It's just that the money, the time, the effort that he could have been using to work on projects that actually made money sort of went out the window, either via repair people or via having to work on the problem himself. The day wasn't worth getting up and living. And this is what Peter, James, and John encompassed on that night that they were out fishing. They were out fishing. They were expelling all their energy. They were doing everything that they needed to do, and yet they came up with no fish. And just to be really obvious about things, when you go out fishing and it's your business, you're supposed to catch fish in order for you to make money. Otherwise, it's just time wasted. And so you can imagine with me there for a minute, after this night's done, because that's the only good time to catch fish, is in shallow water, just off the shore a little bit. And at nighttime, the only time that you can catch fish there, really, well, and these guys are off on the sides cleaning their nets. Maybe they're mending them a little bit. Maybe they're resetting the weights a little bit on their nets because they needed weights. And here comes this guy, Jesus. And Jesus is walking toward them. And there's a large crowd following him. And the crowd is leaning in on Jesus. When it says that the crowd is is listening and the crowd is leaning in. They're actually straining to hear. They're bunching together so that they could hear this teaching. And Jesus sort of needs to get away from all of this. And so Jesus climbs into the boat belonging to Simon. After a night like that, and as impulsive as we know that Peter is, as impulsive as we know that Peter is, we can just see Peter rolling his eyes. Like, he's heard about this Jesus. There's no doubt he's heard about him because all these healings have happened. And Jesus has been driving out demons up until this point. But this guy just, this carpenter's boy from Nazareth, just sort of jumps in a fishing boat. You just see Peter rolling his eyes going, ay, 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 now what do I got to do? I got to go tend to this guy. I got to finish up my useless day's worth of work. I have to fold up these nets real nice and neat to get them set for the next day. I have to do a lot of work here. And Jesus, this guy just sort of jumps in my boat. And now I got to tend to him. It was no small feat to sit in a boat like that. Fran, if you don't mind pulling up those images. This is the bottom of an archaeological dig that happened just off the Sea of Galilee. This is believed to be one of the boats. Karen and I actually saw this boat in Israel, the way that it's depicted here. It's an archaeological dig that gives us a fair idea of what one of these fishing boats looked like. You can go skip to the next slide, please. Looks something like this. This is a model makeup of it, of course, because there's no actual boats in existence right now. But it had a sail, and it was rather large. The boat that they found in Israel was 27 feet long. Very roughly, from about here to the wall away. 7.5 feet wide, about from the edge of the pulpit to the wall. And about 4 feet high. Okay, it took more than just one person to pull this boat out. It was an effort to get this boat to go into the water. It was an effort to make this thing happen. I often thought that Jesus was just in a rowboat or something. Or maybe just a little bit larger than a rowboat when they went to go fishing. But this is a rather large craft that would take many people to steer, to manhandle. And so when Jesus says, just push me out, let's go out into the shallow water, Peter would have had to call over his crew. Well, if they're still on the payroll, then he would have to pay for that. And I find it striking here that Peter just does it. He says, okay, that's fine. We can do this, fine. I can handle this. You're going out with me. And so, and the amazing part is that we don't really know if James and John are with Peter at this point or not. Peter had a crew. James and John were business partners with Peter. And they had two boats. So we don't know if James and John were with them, with Peter or not, and Jesus or not. But Peter for sure had a front row seat to Jesus' teaching. He didn't have to strain in to listen. Jesus was right there. And he could listen while he was waiting for Jesus to finish up. Jesus finishes up and then they go off into the Sea of Galilee. When Peter says, can you not just, or when Jesus says to Peter, can you not just drag me out? Let's go out there. Out into deeper water and throw down the nets for a catch. Now, at this point, Peter talks openly about it. He says, Master, we've been out all night and haven't caught anything. He's not only saying that, but the innuendo is this. You don't really know how to fish, Jesus. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know that fish are caught just slightly offshore at nighttime, not in the middle of the day in the deeper water, in daytime. It's just not the way it's done. We can bring you out there all right, and we can drop our nets to show you how it's done, but we're going to come up fruitless again. And then it's going to take all this extra work for us to prepare again for the next day. We're going to have to clean our nets again. We're going to have to maybe mend our nets again. And then we're going to have to fix things up for the next day all over again. You're just causing me extra work. But because you say so, says Peter, we'll do it. Of course, they drop the nets. And they've hauled in so much fish that they have to signal somehow to the other boat on shore, to those guys who are probably sitting there going, look at them, they're nuts. They're crazy. And they're probably, and then they fill up both boats so full that if they're to take up on any more fish, that they would start to take on water as well. Can you imagine the amount of fish that you could fit in a boat like this? That's this long, by this wide, by this high. That's a lot of fish, folks. That's a lot of fish. And at this point, when they got back to shore, maybe the dollar signs are starting to roll through their minds a bit, because this was a catch of a lifetime. They were amazed. Peter said right away, he says, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man, because I've treated you so harshly. And I didn't believe in you. Though that payday of fish could have sponsored another boat, maybe expanded their business. That payday of fish maybe could be used to pay off a lot of debt. Or maybe to buy them a new sports car or something like that. We don't know. But it was quite the extensive payday. And what do? When they get to shore, they drop everything and follow. There's lots of stuff that you can take away from this story. But what I'd like to take away today is obedience. Again, three times Peter was obedient in this story alone. Now, I've talked to you about obedience the last time I was here, or the lack thereof, with the almost killing of Moses, the near-death experience of Moses. Today, I'm talking about obedience again, because I'm talking about how good it is when we obey, and how God works it out for many of us who obey. God does it, I think, because when we think of obedience, or we look at being obedient to God, I think right away we think of that we need to go and drop everything and follow God. That we don't need to, that's the goal and that's the thing that we have to do right away. But that's not the case necessarily. God wants to show us how good He is, how trustworthy He can be. And if we give up within our expertise, you might say, within our wheelhouse of understanding and knowledge, within our capabilities, a little bit, God will bless it. And that's an act of obedience. As Peter had to pull the boat out into water, get the crew on board, and pull the boat out onto shore, just off of shore, just a little bit, so that Jesus could sit down and teach. Peter was being obedient. And it was not a hard task for him to do. Same like with you all here. You're all being obedient to God's call today by being a part of this congregation, by being here and listening, by being here and active in the church. Some of you are, most of you, I would dare say, are involved in some sort of group or activity within the church. And you're all being very obedient in that. You're still within that wheelhouse of expertise, maybe your comfort zone is getting a little bit stretched a little bit, but you're still within your comfort zone, really. But when God says, when Jesus told Peter, as Jesus told Peter, let's row out and let's throw down the nets for a catch and see what we get. I think at this time, this is where many of us go off the rails. What if I was to say something like this? What if I was to say, I think it'd be a great idea if we set up a youth drop-in center here in Lucknow? What if I say we would set up a youth drop-in center that would house teens, or house teens, that we could have teens over after school, that we could have maybe on some days during the weekends, that we could just have a place for them to hang out. Maybe a storefront downtown. Maybe something like that we could have, say, pool tables in there or foosball tables or some other games. That we could have couches and a hangout place. What if I said something like that, that we could have a coffee maker on site. Maybe a pop machine so that they could get pop for, you know, a quarter or whatever. If I was to say something like that, that'd be like rowing out into the middle of the deep water, wouldn't it? It being asked to go out into deep water and start casting your net. Because we'd have to clean the net. We would have to put down some money to get a storefront. We'd have to go through all the hassles of what it means to have youth in our place all the time. Damage, maybe some language issues, some police presence. Maybe it's just not a doable thing. Maybe we shouldn't just do it after all, because it's just too much of a hassle. Too much involved. Something like throwing the nets in the water. It's too much involved. And then we got to pull up the nets, and then we got to clean them. And it's just, no. You know, it's better just to stay close to shore and let Jesus do his thing. You see, if we are to get to that point where we want Jesus to have all of it by being obedient to him, then we have to trust him with going out into the deep water a little bit. We have to trust him with that extra hassle stuff. I'm not saying that this youth drop-in center is a thing. Okay, I'm not suggesting that for a minute. That's a thought that's sort of rolling around in here, along with the other marble. But to have something like that, to step out in ministry like that, to be a presence not only in the community, but also to touch other kids who may not know Christ, is something that we should all want. And so I'd be open to any concept, or most concepts, that would just push us in that direction. Let's be radical, folks. Let's do something that's impossible, something that has no hope of seeing any fruition at all. Something that is pushing us to our limits, way beyond our comfort zone. Let's not worry about the what-ifs, because there's always going to be what-ifs. But if we want to follow Jesus, to as Peter did in the second and last time that he did, when he just, it was a non-issue for Peter, James, and John at all, when they pulled up on shore, and Jesus said, just follow me. It was a non-issue. They just dropped it and walked. They weren't in their comfort zone at all. They were fishermen out of water. They were on their way to follow this radical guy named Jesus, who just happened to have the power to cause a school of fish to swim into their nets. They followed Jesus because they were asked or told, follow me. And because they saw how Jesus was so honest in keeping his promise to them. Let's just go out into deeper water and see what God can do. Why don't we ask each other that too? Why don't we go out into deeper water and see what God can do? Amen. Lord God, we come before you again. We thank you for the blessing and maybe the conviction. Maybe the blessing of the conviction to step up. Lord, we thank you for how you have blessed us. But we also pray, God, that we would use this blessing as the disciples used this blessing of having two boats of fish that were full of fish. Lord, to step up and to follow you. May we be obedient to you, God, knowing and trusting that you've got every last bit of it in your hands, putting our money where our mouth is, putting our deeds and actions into gear for you, even if it is uncomfortable. For Lord, that's how we truly come to follow you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's sing a song of response. How firm a